This recording is copyrighted April 2011 by Jane Tomain, all rights reserved. Hello and welcome. This is Jane Tomain, and welcome to my talk on Benedictine hospitality. Before we begin, I want to give us all a few minutes to slow down, to let our minds catch up with our bodies, and center ourselves in the present moment. So just start noticing your breathing, the breath of God. Breathe in and out. I invite you to take a deep breath. Hold it for a moment. And then blow the breath out. Just let that tension go. Deep breath in. Hold. Exhale strongly. And let your body relax. Start to breathe normally now. And join me as we breathe in to a count of four. In. 2, 3, 4, out, 2, 3, 4, in, 2, 3, 4, out, 2, 3, 4, receive, 2, bless, 2, receive, 2, bless, 2. Now continue breathing, our breath of life, the presence of God, the gift of the Spirit. We move now into just a brief time of silence. Just let your mind empty of thoughts and concerns. Open your heart to the healing power of Christ. I will call us back together with the sound of a bell. Welcome to the silence. We pray, loving God, that everything we do may be prompted by your inspiration, so that every prayer and work of ours may begin from you and be brought to you by completion. Amen. Thank you for joining me in this silence. The prayer I just used was from St. Benedict's Prayer Book, published by Ampleforth Abbey Press, and is based on verse 4 in the prologue to the rule. So now we've let our bodies catch up with our minds, or our minds catch up with our bodies, and now we're ready to focus on Benedictine hospitality, a hallmark of the Benedictine life. I'd like you to think of a time when you received warm, gracious, and deep hospitality. What was this time, and what was it like? For me, that time was when I was working for Indiana Bell. This was a while ago, and I was loaned to AT&T for a six-month project in New Jersey. I got to go home back to Indiana only every other weekend, but that was good because on the weekends I didn't go home. I was with my dear friend Mary Beth and her husband. I was treated not like family, but like royalty. I recall delightful breakfast in the summer on Mary Beth's porch, complete with cloth napkins, warm muffins, hot rich coffee, and all accompanied by wonderful conversation. What is hospitality? The word hospitality derives from the Italian word, a Latin word, hospitalitas, which comes from the word hospice or guest, We show hospitality to another when we receive them as a guest. We can receive people in this way every day, every hour, and not just for a meal. I can even show my hospitality to you as a guest by receiving you warmly into this call. And so, hello and welcome again. What does Benedictine hospitality look like? Let me read you a little story to illustrate this. There is an ancient story about a monastery where all the monks were old, tired, and waiting to die. They had long since lost their fire for the Lord and had long since ceased to really care about their fellow brothers. Although they shared the same living space, prayed together, ate together, and worked together, each one lived in his own world with heart and mind turned inward. No one came to the monastery. There were no visitors, no new brothers. The buildings were in sad need of repair, but the monks didn't care. They felt that it wasn't long till there would be no monastery at all. Everything would return to the dust. Then one day a holy man visited them. He was a monk himself. For a time he lived with them, prayed with them, talked with them, worked, ate, and slept with them. He was wise. The brothers turned their hearts and minds outward and listened to him. When the time came for him to leave, this holy man stood before the brothers who were bidding him farewell and wished them God's peace. Some of the monks shook their heads sadly. "There's nothing here now that you're going," they thought. But his last words to them were, "There is one among you who is Christ." And he walked away. Well, the brothers were quite astonished. They looked at each other with surprise. Surely not Brother William, the one who never arrives at chapel on time and never does his work either, for that matter. Surely not Brother Mark, the one who annoyingly slurps his soup. Surely not the abbot, who is always gruff with everyone. Christ would not be late for chapel or not do his work, or slurp soup or be gruff. Yet their visitor was a holy man, a reliable man they felt had spoken the truth to them the whole time he was in their company. This too must be true. One among them must be Christ. So each of the monks began to treat the other as if he were Christ, for they didn't know who it was. They looked for ways to serve one another and were kind to one another and shared with one another. Each did his work as a gift to the Christ who was among them. Each honored his fellow monk by listening to them with full attention and respect. They began to overlook little things that annoyed them about each other and began instead to see the good that was in every person. Life began to flow back into the dying community. A vitality and joy was reborn that had been lost for many years. The people of the town nearby learned that something had changed at the monastery. In curiosity, they came, and in love, they were received. Each was graciously welcomed and made to feel at home. Every effort was taken to care for their needs, and every monk accepted them as they were. Men, women, children came to be refreshed and renewed. The brotherhood grew as men came even from far away to join the community. All of the visitors and the new brothers were treated as if they were Christ, for the wise monk had said, "One among you is Christ." One among us is Christ. Who is it? Is it you? Is it me? Is it someone in your family, in your church community, at work or in the work school or in the workplace? According to Benedictine spirituality, wherever you go, Christ is the person on your left, the person on your right, the person whom you have yet to meet, even you. Welcoming one another as Christ is the cornerstone of Benedictine spirituality. In chapter 53, The Reception of Guests, Benedict says, "All guests who present themselves are to be welcomed as Christ, for he himself will say, I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. Benedict asks for a life of love and service, reaching out to others because we see Christ in everyone. We receive others and honor and adore the Christ within each person. Welcome one another as Christ. We can look at this welcoming in three ways, I think. The first way I've looked at it is we welcome the other person as Christ. The second way, we welcome one another as Christ. In other words, as Christ, we welcome the other person. And third, we welcome the other as Christ has welcomed us. And here I'm drawing on Romans 15:7, where Paul says, "Welcome one another, therefore, just as Christ has welcomed you, for the glory of God." I love that last idea, that when we welcome one another, we do it for the glory of God. And I say, how cool is that? It takes our welcoming out of just the earthly and places it in our being in a cosmic realm. It's an awesome way to look at our hospitality to one another, to think of doing it as to the glory of God. In chapter 66 of the rule, the porter of the monastery, and the porter was the individual at the gate of the monastery, Benedict instructs that visitors are received promptly, both with respect and love. And in order to accomplish this, first, there is always to be someone available to greet a visitor. Benedict says, find a brother who has some sense and who knows how to receive a message and relay a response, someone who's older, older and not apt to wander away. Give him a room by the door. Instruct this person to greet all visitors with words like, thanks be to God, and to quickly attend to their needs with gentleness and warmth. The utmost humility is to be shown to guests, and every effort is to be made to make them feel welcomed. And hospitality is extended to all regardless of their station in life. Again, the key to this hospitality is the recognition of Christ in each visitor. If you have a copy of the rule, read chapter 66, the porter of the monastery, and also chapter 31, which is about the cellarer of the monastery, the individual who gives the goods of the monastery to members of the community. Both illustrate the practice of hospitality in the Benedictine way, to not only guest, but also to family and community member. Benedict asks us to live a life of love and service, reaching out to others because we see Christ in everyone. So when you and I receive a guest, be it at home or in a soup kitchen or in the seat next to us on an airplane, you and I are receiving Christ. Episcopal priest and author Elizabeth Canham reminds us that people do not enter our lives to be coerced or manipulated, but to enrich us by their differences and to be graciously received in the name of Christ. Esther Duval, the noted Anglican author, writes, "Hospitality isn't about anything as simple as the best china, lace napkins, and crystal wine glasses. It might include those. But the real meaning of hospitality has to do with what one friend called making room inside yourself for another person." Benedictine Daniel Holman puts it beautifully, and I love this. He says, "The core is, may I know you better. Come closer, please." When we acknowledge Christ in a person, we acknowledge that part of them that is connected to God and Christ. I've known people who, you know, when they'd meet someone, they would silently greet the Christ in that person. When we receive others, we can honor and adore the Christ within that person. This is what Benedict calls hospitality. So imagine if we began to treat each member of our family, this is the hardest part, I think, of our family as if he or she were Christ. What if we did that in our churches and in our other communities that we're a part of? What if we looked at our coworkers as if he or she were Christ? How would that change our relationships, our hearts, our actions, or our thoughts? This may seem like a crazy idea, this seeing Christ in others and treating them as if they were Christ. You know, what about the people we dislike or the people that hurt us? What about the people with whom we are in conflict? What about evil people? Excuse me. I think the answer is this. Seeking and serving Christ in others is not about them. It is about us. When we choose to look on a stranger or a family member or a church member or a coworker or a person who serves us in a store as Christ, we don't change them. We change ourselves. We can do nothing about who they are. We can only do something about ourselves, I think, and about who we are in this world that will allow God to bless and sanctify our life and those lives of other people through us. Like the monks in the story, we can choose to let our actions looks like this. We can choose to be fully present to We can choose to set aside our own agendas sometime and tend to the needs of the person who is before us. We can choose to look for the good in another person instead of being consumed by their faults. We can choose reconciliation and repair. We can choose to see Christ in the faces of those whom we see every day. We are responsible for ourselves and not for anything, anyone else. But the interesting thing, and this is what I've noticed, that when I change my actions and reactions, everyone around me changes too. If we wish to see Christ, to practice this kind of hospitality to family, friend, and stranger, how do we do it? My favorite way to look at this comes from a wonderful book entitled Reaching Out by Henri Nouwen. Nouwen writes that instead of viewing other people, especially the stranger, with fear, ambivalence, or hostility, we can create a kind of mental space around ourselves where the person can enter and become a friend instead of an enemy. He says, to convert hostility into hospitality requires the creation of a friendly empty space where we can reach out to our fellow human beings and invite them to a new relationship. I say the challenge is that the space around us is usually occupied. Our busyness and activity, our concerns and desires, our self-protection can take up this space. We need to be willing to be silent, to be silent, and to set these things aside so that we can both provide a free, open, and friendly space for others, but also to be free to receive the gifts that they bring to us. Now, I read Reaching Out when I was still working at AT&T. I think it was the first spiritual book that I read on my journey, my later adult journey here with Christ. Just as in any workplace, you know how it is, there were people who I found frustrating and with whom I was at odds. So what I started doing after reading Nouwen's words is to begin this practice, this discipline of imagining an empty space around myself and mentally reaching out to people who came to me in a welcoming, inviting way. I worked on quieting my mind so that I could really listen to them instead of wanting them to listen to me. If there was a difference of opinion, I would just try to be quiet and I would hear them out. And I did my best to be fully present to them. And I really must say the results of creating this welcoming space were amazing. My relationships with others, especially those with whom I contended, were better. I felt better. People felt accepted. Hospitality is an incredible gift that we can give one another. Hospitality begins when we can be truly present to another person. When we are present, focusing on the person before us or acknowledging the needs of people who live far from us and working to meet those needs, we become channels for the Spirit of Christ. To be channels for the Spirit is what I pray for all of us. Welcome one another as Christ. As Christ, we welcome one another. Esther Duvall suggests two questions that we might ask ourselves to see if we are doing both. Esther was the wife of the dean of Canterbury Cathedral when her husband was there serving the cathedral. So you can imagine she did much entertaining many, many people. And so she said endless people encountered, a mass of entertaining, constant coming and going, countless numbers of people, and at the end of all this activity, St. Benedict faces us with two very simple questions. Did we see Christ in them? Did they see Christ in us? Thank you for listening. I hope you found this helpful in your journey. If you have any questions or comments on this recording, please email me at janetomain@stbenedictstoolbox.org. That's J-A-N-E, T as in Tom, O, M as in Mary, A-I, N as in Nancy, E, @stbenedictstoolbox.org. And that's S-T, Benedict's Toolbox, all one word. So thank you again for listening, and may God bless your day. And now I'm going outside because I see a little squirrel in my garden who is digging up my bulbs. So I'm going to go tend to him. So God bless you. Bye.